joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Through it all. Want to greet everyone that's at home. It's unfortunate that we're able to meet in person this week, but we're going to meet via the internet. Okay, I'm going to be teaching from the book of Matthew. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 10, specifically verses 16 through 42. We're also going to be reading from the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 26. And then I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Now, I had the privilege of preaching and sharing at a couple churches a few weeks back. And in my last teaching at those churches, I identified and presented four ways that a follower of Jesus Christ is to perform the same functions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But let's go ahead and read our passages. Let's begin with our reading from the book of Matthew, specifically Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 42, beginning with verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You're of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Let's move to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 26, beginning with verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful, for the master prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Let's move to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Well, in my last study, I presented a number of different ways that the follower of Jesus Christ, the child of God, is like a good soldier. And these were the four that I included in my previous teaching. One, the good soldier recognizes authority and obeys their commander. Two, the good soldier of Jesus Christ stands firm, specifically by occupying and strengthening what remains, and by persevering in the faith. And three, the good soldier recognizes their enemy. And the last one, number four, was that the good soldier is willing to fight even unto death. Now today, I want to continue the comparison of the good soldier in Jesus Christ to a real soldier, and I want to identify five more ways that a Christian should perform as a good spiritual soldier in Christ Jesus. The fifth way a Christian is to perform as a good soldier involves having a mission, a clear objective, or a goal. The good soldier of Jesus Christ works to achieve a clearly defined objective or mission. And what is the primary mission of a Christian? What is the primary mission of a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, their first is to glorify God in the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2 identifies and explains this calling. The verse says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house." Jesus, our Lord and Savior, had a calling and he had a mission. His mission was to give his life to redeem mankind and to make it possible for people to be freed from sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2 mentions Moses. Now, what was Moses' mission? Well, Moses' mission was to lead and free the children of Israel and to lead that nation into the promised land. Now, did Moses accomplish his mission or his calling? Yes, he did. How do we know that? Well, Exodus 40:16 records God's approval of Moses' performance. The verse says, "Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did." Likewise, in the same way, Jesus was faithful to his calling and to his mission. Jesus explained how he would fulfill God the Father's will as he completed his calling and his mission. Jesus said, as is recorded in John 10, 17 and 18, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me," Jesus said, "but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it again." And what is our mission then? Our mission is to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 explains our mission or our purpose. The verse says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's." We belong to God. Jesus explained the duty and mission of the good soldier. As is recorded in Matthew 5:16, Jesus, our Savior, declared, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." 1 Corinthians 10:31 explains the chief duty of mankind. The verse says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Well, a secondary part of our mission to glorify God involves proclaiming the gospel message to the glory of God so that as the Holy Spirit calls individuals, people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to receive that gift of eternal life. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus gave his soldiers their marching orders. The verses say, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The Apostle Paul reiterated Jesus' expectation in his letter to the church in Colossae. Paul wrote, as is recorded in Colossians 1:23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." You see, as Christians, our goal should be to reach as many people with the gospel message as we possibly can. Colossians 1, 26 through 29 says, "The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches or of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily," he said. Well, the sixth way, another way that the child of God can perform the functions of a good soldier in Jesus Christ, is through the support of their fellow soldiers. You know, a group of soldiers functions as a cohesive unit. They help and support each other. They fight for each other and with each other. Well, the saved, redeemed Christian comes to Christ as an individual, and we know that every person is called by the Holy Spirit to Christ that are saved as an individual, but every believer is called and expected to function within the body of Christ after they are saved. Each member is called to use their gifts to glorify God. Paul described the individual Christian operating within the body of Christ as is recorded in Romans 12, 4 through 7. The verses say, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." The members of the body of Christ work in concert together as a unit to do the will of God. Paul described the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. It gives a good picture of what it means to be part of the body. The verses say, "For as the body is in one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Well, just as an army is comprised of individual soldiers, so is the body of Christ comprised of individual believers. The good soldier operates within the context of the body to teach and to encourage through exhortation. Now, what is exhortation? Well, when we exhort, what are we doing? We are encouraging other people. When we see a fellow believer in need or that someone that's discouraged and we say, "Don't give up," we say, "Keep trying, don't be discouraged," we encourage. And that's why we're charged in God's word to meet together as a church. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 explains this purpose in the context of the church in and as the body of Christ. The verses say, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." As we see the day approaching. What does that mean? Well, friends, we are to encourage each other with the promise that Jesus Christ will return for his people. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18 reminds us to actually comfort one another with the knowledge of Jesus Christ's imminent glorious return. The verses say, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And then it goes on to say this, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." God's army, the body of Christ, is charged to encourage and thus teach and mentor the younger members of the body of Christ. Colossians 3, 15 through 17 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Think about this. The older believer should teach and admonish the younger believers in the body of Christ. Titus 2, 1 through 5 explains the didactive, instructive duties that should be taking place on the inside of a church amongst its members. The verses say, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for saved, for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not giving to much wine, teachers of women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Well, what's the seventh way that a Christian should comport themselves as a good soldier in this analogy? How does the good soldier perform their tasks effectively? Well, just as soldiers in the field need to be properly armed and equipped for battle to perform their tasks, good spiritual soldiers must have tools and weapons to wage their war. Likewise, the child of God must obtain the equipment they need to stand fast in the spiritual realm. The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Romans 13, 12 through 14, that the saints of God should be armored in light. The verses say, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 lists all the armor and equipment that the believer, the follower of Jesus Christ, needs to have in order to operate as a soldier in spiritual battle. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In verse 14, the believer is instructed to gird themselves with the belt of truth. Now, the belt of truth is the foundation of the believer's faith. To possess the truth and to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to possess freedom in Christ Jesus. Regarding the truth, Jesus said, as is recorded in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ephesians 6, 14 also mentions the breastplate of righteousness. And there are many great, beautiful promises of blessing in God's word for the righteous. Proverbs 1, 18 and 19 provides a promise of life for the righteous. The verses say, the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Well, where does this breastplate of righteousness come from? How do we obtain that? Who bestows righteousness? Well, God does. Philippians 3, 8 and 9 says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That is how you and I, the believer in Jesus Christ, obtain righteousness. The good soldier in Jesus Christ must also wear the right kind of footwear as a foundation for their ability to stand and fight. And what is the spiritual footwear that enables a soldier to stand? Well, Hebrews 6:15 says that the Christian is to wear the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus said that the Father would send the Holy Spirit to comfort the believer, as is recorded in John 14:26. The verse says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When Jesus said that he would grant peace to the world, did he mean that following him would allow his children to be free from conflict, from pain, from sorrow, from suffering? After all, Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 6, 9. Well, the peace that Jesus gives to the believer, this is important, transcends their circumstances here on earth. A child of God may be immersed in a struggle or enduring a conflict and still be able to enjoy God's peace, even in the midst of trial and difficulty. In Matthew 10, 34, Jesus said, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Friends, make no mistake, For a person to follow Jesus, it is required that the believer love God above everything else in their life. When a person follows Jesus Christ, they may endure hardships and persecution. When a person follows Jesus Christ, they may encounter resistance. They may encounter hatred. Now, where do our spiritual boots come from then? Well, they come from God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through our own strength." No, it says through Christ Jesus. The good soldier then is to be equipped with a shield, the shield of faith mentioned in verse 16 of Hebrews 6. Now, as the Holy Spirit gives each of us our calling and then our faith, we are granted life, abundant life in this world and then eternal life when we leave this world. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus said, as is recorded in the last part of John 10:10, quote, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly," end quote. Well, eternal life comes through faith. 1 John 5, 4 and 5 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Many people today believe that Jesus was a good teacher, that he was a special person, that he was a prophet. We need to believe that he is God the Son in order to be saved and have that measure of faith that allows us to believe that comes from the Holy Spirit. God has also provided a spiritual helmet for his children. And he has given this to us for the protection of each of us as we perform the tasks of good soldiers. The helmet of salvation mentioned in Hebrews 6:17 specifically, assurance of salvation provides the good soldier with protection from doubt and fear. Friend, there is only salvation through the person of Jesus Christ, no other. Acts 4:12 reminds us of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ and his assertions of exclusivity. The verse says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." David wrote under divine inspiration in Psalm 3:8, he wrote this, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people." Jesus said this, as is recorded in John 10:28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." The good soldier is protected and secure with their helmet of salvation. God has also equipped us with an offensive tool, a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, mentioned in verse 17 of Hebrews 6. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17 explains how God's Word enables the good soldier of Christ to go on the offensive. The verse says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are now able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." God's Word allows us to confront and defeat the lies of the enemy in his truth. Notice that in those verses that I read, it talks about how we're to use it for correction. Some people today, when they're confronted with their sin, say, "Don't judge me." But it is a part of the Christian and the believer's life to lovingly come beside someone who's falling into sin and to bring help and correction to them through our own knowledge and our own goodness? No, by applying God's word to their lives and their situation. The Christian is to present God's truth as an act of love. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Let me ask you some questions, friend. Do you want to know the truth? Do you want to live the truth? Do you want to walk in truth? Then listen, read and meditate on and internalize the word of God. Every good soldier needs the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to defeat the enemy and to stand courageously. Number 8, another way that the good soldier of Christ will be like an actual soldier is in the way that they defend the weak and empathize with their fellow soldiers that are suffering. Romans 15:1 says that we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The primary function of a government, their army, and its soldiers is to defend and protect their own people. In Psalm 82:1-4, David reminds the child of God that they are to defend the weak. We are called to defend the weakest members of our society. The verses say this: God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? It says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Unfortunately, today we have people that instead of helping someone to break free from sin, says to the sinner, stay in your sin. I affirm you in your sin. Be comfortable in your sin. That's not what we're to do as Christians. We're to confront sin, and we are to call people to freedom and righteousness through Jesus Christ. The Christian should courageously stand for the truth in God's word and defend the weakest members in our society. The good soldier will commiserate with and remember their fellow soldiers, other Christians that are enduring suffering. Hebrews 13:1-3 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. What is that verse saying? It's saying that when we read about Christians that are suffering, we should be internalizing that pain that they're going through as if we were actually in jail, as if we were actually suffering, as if we were being mistreated. Because why? We're part of the body of Christ. When one of us is suffering, all of us should be suffering and empathizing with that person that's going through that difficulty and lifting them up in prayer. The Christian is to feel the hurts of another suffering brother or sister in Jesus Christ as if they themselves were being treated unfairly or persecuted. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Well, the ninth way, another way that the Christian works as a good soldier in Jesus Christ is found in the way that they demonstrate courage. You see, the good soldier in Christ Jesus should always act courageously. The Christian should never act in cowardness. Psalm 31:23-24 says, oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now, I like the New Living Translation of that verse. It renders the verse this way. Here's how it sounds. Be on guard. Stand true to what you believe. Be courageous, be strong, and everything you do must be done with love. Now, friends, maybe you're listening today and you're thinking, you know what? I'm scared. I'm afraid. Listen, God can enable you to have courage. He can enable me to have courage. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of our might." No, in the power of His might. God will help you to know what to do when you face uncertainties or fearful times in your life. Jesus assured His disciples that the Holy Spirit would assist them and help them and direct them when they would face fearful, perilous situations. In Matthew 10:18-20, Jesus told His disciples that the Holy Spirit would assist them to even know what they should say. And Jesus said, "And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought for what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you." Psalm 118:5-7 tells us how not to fear, but instead to give all our burdens of fear over to God. The verses say, "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." Friend, if a child of God fears the Father, they don't have to fear man. The Christian is not to behave cowardly. The Christian is to courageously overcome the enemy of this world. Revelation 21:7-8 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friend, you might be thinking, I'm just so tired. I feel so weary. How am I going to be able to overcome this world as a good Christian soldier? I don't feel strong like a soldier. I just want to experience rest and peace. Listen, friend, keep this in mind. At the end of every battle, at the end of every war, the victorious finally experience peace. Christian, take solace, rest assured in the fact that the good soldier in Jesus Christ will find peace. A day will come when when the conflict in this world will end, and we will have a final complete peace for eternity in the presence of God. Now, at the present, we face struggles, we face battles, we are in conflict. But child of God, don't allow these current hardships in this world to keep you from doing what God has plainly told you to do. Remember, 2 Timothy 2:4 encourages the believer to maintain their focus so that distractions do not interfere with them doing what is most important. The verses say, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Friend, lead your life to please God. Obey His directives. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Friends, when Jesus returns with His children to wage war against the forces of evil that is prophesied of in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21, His children, robed in white, will accompany Jesus into battle. But the children of God will not fight. Why won't the armies of heaven fight? Because Jesus will defeat the armies of the enemy with just a word from His mouth. Revelation 19:15 says, "Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations." The army of believers will be with Jesus, but their services will not be required. Jesus will bring peace. He will ensure victory. He will provide eternal life to his people. He will reward his overcoming children. Jesus assured his disciples that they would have peace, his peace. John 16:33 records that Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation or troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," Jesus said. The good soldier will one day experience peace. And as we submit to God, we can experience peace right now. And I'm going to close by repeating Philippians 4:6-7, which says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Friend of God, one day, ultimately, the good soldier of Jesus Christ will know eternal peace. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will last forever. And Nathan, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us and everyone hearing this message, Lord, that love you, that have surrendered their lives to you, and have trusted you as their Savior. You would help us to have courage, to be courageous, to stand. Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help us to be overcomers in your kingdom. Lord, we know that this strength does not come from within ourselves, Lord, but through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to love you above all things in our lives. Don't let us have any idols in our lives, Lord. Help us to turn our back on evil and to turn our hearts toward you. Lord, I pray that you would make this happen through your power and strength, Lord. We ask all these things, praying not our will be done, but your perfect will be done. And help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.